it's Advent Sunday. Does that thought terrify you? How prepared are you feeling? I mean, hands up, who has actually bought a present? Look at a few. Who's actually wrapped a present? Yeah, no, I mean, a couple of people are there. I'm really impressed with this. What about writing cards? Has anyone written a card yet? No. We're definitely not at that stage yet, are we? No, well, preparations are going very slowly in my house, but thankfully I have got some lovely tree decorations now because we had a women's craft night on Friday and it was fabulous and I've made these lovely decorations. So I've at least got something going. And the other good news for me personally is that actually a lot of other people are doing the preparation for me. So the people who are growing Brussels sprouts, they grew them quite a long time ago actually, so they're ready, they're good to go. And the TV planners, they've been thinking about the Christmas specials for months and they've been making them and so they're pretty much ready to go as well. And King Charles, he's well on the case, I'd imagine, with his Christmas message. I think he's going to keep that tradition. So we're getting there. Preparation is happening. And of course, our staff team have been busy preparing all our Christmas services and our building. Isn't it looking fantastic in here? But preparation is such a key part of our experience of Christmas. And the season of Advent marks the beginning of a very special kind of preparation for us. Because Christmas, of course, isn't about lovely food and good TV, though those things are very good and I'm excited about them. Well, Christmas is, of course, about Jesus. So we need to prepare. But what are we preparing for? You might be thinking, come on, Louise, you've been coming to church a while now. You should know we are preparing for Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we do. But let me ask you this. Is Christmas a bit like when we celebrate someone like Shakespeare? Someone historic and notable, someone who actually did change the world in his way. Is it a celebration like that? Or is it a celebration a bit more like the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, where we celebrated her, we learnt all about her, but we also celebrated with her because she was there. And do you remember her face as she was hearing all these wonderful tributes? How moved she was. It was a celebration with her. And I wonder if you think of Christmas as a time of remembering the birth of Jesus, or is it rather a time of celebrating with him that he was born? A friend of mine says about birthdays that it's a time to say, I am glad you are here. I'm glad you exist. I'm glad you were born. And Christmas is our chance to say that to Jesus, to celebrate with him. And if we think about Christmas like that, that starts to give us clues on how we can prepare through Advent so we are ready for this celebration. And before birthdays, we think about the person, don't we? We think about who they are and what they're like, how we can show them we love them, how we can celebrate them. And so we've got 28 days now, 4 weeks, for us to prepare and think about how we're going to celebrate that Jesus was born. Now, we've been thinking in our sermon series recently about how amazing Jesus is. We've been thinking about those wonderful miracles he did. And in our reading today, we've gone right back to the beginning of Mark's gospel, which is the gospel we've been journeying through this term. But earlier in the service, Asta very beautifully lit our first Advent candle. Now, apparently Advent wreaths first came from Germany in the 1800s. And so it goes, there was this school, and apparently the children kept saying, is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas yet? And the pastor there got so frustrated with this that he built a wreath, and he put 20 candles on there, 4 big ones for the Sundays, and he said, right, we're going to light a candle every day so that you know when Christmas is coming. And that's why we have our chocolate advent calendars, isn't it? Just to pacify our children that time is ticking, we will get there. But the Advent wreath isn't just a clock. It's not just counting down 4 Sundays, because in church, each of those 4 candles can mean something. It can help us to think about something. And so what I'm going to do this morning is go on a little tour of an Advent wreath. Ooh, let's go back. Can I go back? Oh, there we go. I've spoiled the first one now. So we're going to go on a tour of the Advent wreath, and we're going to cover about 4,000 years. So we're going to have to go pretty fast to get through all of this. So I've already just shown you the first candle. This makes us think about, sometimes it's called the patriarchs. I like to think of ancestors rather than patriarchs because patriarch is a bit of a loaded word. But Jesus's ancestors. And we can go all the way back to Abraham. And if you look in Matthew's gospel, he actually lines out the genealogy of Jesus and traces him all the way back to Abraham. So do you remember in Genesis, the story of Abraham, where God says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Well, he did, and one of those descendants was Jesus. God kept his promise, but at the time, Abraham didn't know this. There's this story in Genesis where he's walking around the promised land, but he's an outsider. And there's this bit where God says, you're going to have all of these descendants, but he has no children at all. So Abraham is living in this darkness. He's living in this unknown, unresolved place. And all he has is faith and hope and trust that God is going to keep his promises. And we have hindsight. We can see that he did keep those promises. And I think with God, hindsight is often a really valuable thing, because quite often we only see how God was at work when we look back. And so at Advent, we have a chance to remember. We can look back and we can remember that God keeps his promises. We can remember that even when things feel uncertain or unresolved or even completely unlikely, that God is a promise keeper. And we can take those steps in faith, hope, and trust like Jesus' ancestors did. And I wonder if next Advent, when we look back, we can see how the steps we take this Advent, that God was in them and at work. Now, during the years between Abraham and Jesus, there was about 2,000 years, there was quite a lot that happened. There was a lot of ups and downs for God's people. Sometimes they were walking in faith and they were close to God and it was all really good. And other times they were really struggling. But God never gave up on them. God never let them go. And so with our second candle, we remember the prophets. God didn't let people give up following him. He called them back and he did that through these prophets. Now, I wonder if you noticed one of the prophets, Isaiah, was quoted in our reading this morning. And Isaiah had this wonderful job of bringing a message of hope, that help was on the way. And so the prophet shows this second way to prepare at Advent, and that is to listen. To listen to what God is saying to us now. What do we need to hear this Advent? Do we need to hear God calling us back, reminding us that he is here? Or do we need to hear that message of hope, that help is on the way? He's not forgotten us. He is coming. And so one way we can do that is we can use Advent devotional books. So I brought one here this morning. This one is called Image of an Invisible, and it's one of my favourite ones that I've done. And it's by Amy Scott Robinson. But there are so many books like this that give you a little passage, a little reflection, and you do a daily reading every day. And that's a really good way of listening to what God might have to say for you this Advent, because he's not going to let us go. And so we come to our third candle. And this is John the Baptist, and this is the guy that we heard about in our reading this morning. And he sounds like a real character, doesn't he? With his wild locusts and honey and, yes, interesting. But John the Baptist, so he was around and alive at the time of Jesus. And he was the warm-up act, if you like. He was the one preparing the way for Jesus. Now, I wonder, have you ever had to use one of those online forms on a website? So many businesses and organisations now don't like us to phone them. They don't like us to ask questions, and so they give us these little online forms, or even worse, those little chat boxes where you have to chat with some little robot who's trying to answer your questions. And I always think it's such a relief when you actually get to speak to a person. And I just wonder if that's how the people felt when John was saying, "Help in person is on the way." I mean, what a message of relief and hope. And he is very clear in his talking to the people about how they can prepare for Jesus, and that is repentance. In verse 4, he says, he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, repentance, we've often talked about this, it literally means to turn around, to face Jesus, face the one who has come to rescue us. Now, of course, Jesus isn't physically walking on the earth now. We can't physically turn up like the people did then and literally face him. But we can turn our hearts towards him, our thoughts, our motivations, our purpose, and turn those to him. And I think when we do that, naturally we're turning away from other things. And what's wonderful here is that John says he is preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Not repentance for the punishment of sins, not repentance for humiliation or shame or rejection, but repentance for forgiveness. And so we remember that we're coming to Jesus, who is going to be kind and merciful and forgiving. And I think as we prepare in Advent, repentance is such an important thing because it will enable us to celebrate with him. But we can also know that when we do repent, he's celebrating with us too. So, candle number 4. This is one where we think about Mary. Now, Mary was willing not only to face Jesus and to meet him, she was willing to give her whole self to him, physically, her whole body. And I wonder what preparation looked like for her. She wasn't just preparing to love him, she was preparing to be practical and physical with her love for him. And so I wonder if there's a challenge for us here this Advent to think about the physical and the practical ways that we can prepare. And one of those ways is welcome. We can give others the opportunity to hear about Jesus. And Matt's told us about all these wonderful services coming up, and we've got these flyers. And that is one great way. And perhaps another way is to think about how Mary physically cared for Jesus. And perhaps that's something we can do if we've got friends or relatives who struggle at Christmas. Our care and our hospitality could help them to encounter Jesus this Christmas. And then on Christmas Day, we're going to light a fifth candle. And as we do that, we can remember the God who has come, the God who is the promise keeper, the God who never lets us go, the God who is loving and forgiving. But of course, Christmas is not the end of the story. We're going to think at Easter about Jesus' death and resurrection. And we remember that this is only part of what Jesus came to do. We've been talking this morning about how we prepare during Advent. But I have one final thought for you this morning. We're not the only ones who have been making preparations. As we've looked back over 4,000 years of God's story, we've seen how God has been preparing humanity. God has been preparing us all along. He prepared a people to meet him physically 2,000 years ago. He's prepared for us to hear his message now in 2022. And his preparations are still ongoing. He's not finished yet. There is more to come. We are only partway through the story because one day Jesus will come back. We don't know when, we don't know how, but what we do know is that God is preparing us for that. And so as we prepare to celebrate his birth in a month, as we prepare by listening to him, by repenting, by drawing close to him, and by welcoming others, we're also preparing for this bigger story. He is preparing us to be a part of his eternal kingdom. And so we can join in with God's preparations for this. So each week, as we light these candles, let's just take a pause. Let's remember what we're preparing to do at Christmas. Let's come back to Jesus. Let's listen to him and hear what he has to say for us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are excited to celebrate you. We're excited to celebrate who you are, celebrate that you came in person to help us. We want to celebrate that you never let us go. And Lord, help us to get ready this Advent. Help us to turn to face you. Help us to hear your voice calling us back to you. And help us to prepare to celebrate with you this Christmas. Amen.